Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Holiday cooking always sounds good, but maybe you're the type who bites off more than you can or should chew, like me. Maybe there's a tradition you can't bear to let go. Maybe you want to impress a relative as you take over the chore of the annual holiday supper. Maybe you're just looking for some good entertaining ideas, because you're in luck today. Joining us is Tricia Wheeler, publisher of Edible Columbus. It's a magazine dedicated to locally grown foods from farmer's field to the dining table. Tricia is a classically trained chef as well from the French Culinary Institute of New York, and she also teaches a popular cooking series in Columbus. Welcome back to the show, Tricia.
Thanks, Ann.
Also with us is Faith Durand, a cookbook author, freelance food writer, and managing editor of The Kitchen at Apartment Therapy Cooking Blog. Her new cookbook is called Not Your Mother's Casseroles. Welcome back, Faith.
Hi, Ann.
And to all of you out there who are listening, if you have a question or comment for our guests, you know, you can just give us a call and ask. You can email us. But we'd also like to know what your favorite holiday food tradition is, or are you trying to start a new tradition like I am? Give us a call and share your story. You can also call with questions at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I think I've started a little chat on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can pop your question or comment in there, too, if you want. So, I thought we could just start out with, if there is a favorite tradition, sharing our favorite traditions today. Tricia Wheeler, what about you? Growing up, was there something that you still do or like to do then?
Well, my parents were divorced, so I traveled around to five different homes.
That was your favorite tradition.
In 2 days. Okay. And so I got to eat several times. but, you know, we always had a really special Christmas Eve, and it was a big party with family and friends and lots of wonderful appetizers. My mom's a wonderful cook, so it was always a very special night. And then Christmas Day, my grandmother would make a wonderful big feast. The whole dining room table would be covered with all of her different dishes. And I grew up in Akron, and so there was the Huff Bakery in Akron, and my grandmother would just go crazy with desserts, and it was always a really special time.
What about you, Faith?
You know, I come from a really big family. I'm the oldest of eight kids. So in our family, we didn't necessarily have a Christmas dinner tradition, but what we always had was a gingerbread house decorating competition. And my mom still carries this on to this day. And of course, you know, gingerbread houses are not really about the gingerbread, they're about the candy. So there was just always this competition, really, to see how much candy you could load onto your house. And that was really fun. So,
well, ours was a Christmas Eve. My dad always made eggnog. And he often made it from scratch when he could. He didn't as time went on, and he would put a layer of whipping cream on top of it with the nutmeg. And that was the only night of the whole year was Christmas night, Christmas Eve. And now, of course, people drink it all the time. But then you couldn't get it but a few days a year. And he, of course, wouldn't make it more than once a year. So we always look forward to that. Now I know that there's 1,000 calories per half cup and not so much anymore. Folks out there, give us a call, 614-292-8513, and tell us what your favorite tradition is. A holiday tradition, it can be Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it might be. Let us know. So one of the most common meals, even at Christmas time, is a turkey still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a couple casserole recipes for turkey.
Yeah, I don't do turkey at Christmas. I'm actually not a huge turkey fan, I have to admit. So I do turkey only because I absolutely have to at Thanksgiving. So Christmas for me is more like a brisket or a ham or something like that. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask about turkey at Christmas.
And Tricia, you're shaking your head too.
I don't do a turkey at Christmas either. I do a standing rib roast on Christmas Day.
Nice. Yeah. But for those of us out there, not me, I don't do turkey at Christmas either, but a lot of people do, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, any tips, anything generally out there for people, fresh or frozen?
I've always done fresh.
Yeah. If you're going to do a turkey, see if you can get a fresh one, that's the best, I think.
Okay.
Then you don't have to worry about all the hassle of, Is it thawed yet? Is it thawed yet? Is it thawed yet? And putting it in your bathtub and whatever people do.
Or finally sticking it in your oven.
Yeah.
Frozen because you just don't have any time anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Oh, Junior wants some cooking advice. Hi, Junior. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
It's me, Mr. Chef Cook-A-Lot himself.
Okay.
Now, I've got some potatoes I'm cooking up, and what I would like to do is switch up. Instead of, like, the sticks that you get at McDonald's and Burger King, I want to change the shape to, like, upside-down triangles. I would like to call them wisdom fries because, you see, I chose wisdom over foolishness. Now, a lot of guys don't do that. So that makes me the superior chef.
Okay.
Now, here's the deal, all right, because I love your wisdom. That's why I called you for some advice. First, I need to know, can I have my holiday cookies, the holiday tradition for myself? If there was anyone that I would like to get my holiday cookies from, it would likely to be you because you have the wisdom and superiority to teach, and you are always eligible to learn from the higher learning. So
right.
In that category, number one, and my last one, number two, because I like to be a listener as well as a speaker.
Okay.
I'm having a problem here. Now, I can cook so well. I am Mr. Culinary Arts himself. I'm a
All
guitar.
Right. Well, we've got
Apple
a couple.
Apple cider Hennessy.
Okay.
I need you to please find me someone out there that I could spend Christmas with. I mean,
okay.
Christmas Day is Sunday. I don't have anyone to spend it with, and I was wondering if there was anyone out there that would like to invite me to spend Christmas with them and possibly come together and explore the culinary arts.
All right, Junior. Well, we'll put it out there, and we'll let you know if anyone calls, okay?
Well, listen, I appreciate that.
Okay.
And the number is 740.
Oh, nope, Junior, we're not going to give our numbers out now on the air. But thanks for calling. And I thought you wanted some cooking advice, but apparently not. So thanks a lot, Junior. Anybody else out there who wants some cooking advice, has some holiday traditions they want to share with us, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Make sure you tell our screener what you really want to talk about. So what are you going to do, Tricia? You're going to do something very unusual and new this
yes,
year for Christmas.
I'm really excited because earlier in the week I was feeling so stressed and I had so much going on and I wasn't quite in the holiday spirit yet. And then I realized that I had a group of family members coming to dinner on Friday night, coming down from Cleveland, and also my best friend and her husband, a new baby. And I thought this was a chance to possibly create a new tradition. And I've been wanting to cook the Feast of Seven Fishes. And so I'm really excited now to be doing this. It's traditionally a Christmas Eve dinner, but I'm doing it 2 days before Christmas. And I've been working all week on my menu for my seven fish dishes and researching what the significance of the feast means.
What is it?
And
I've heard of it, but I don't know.
It originated in southern Italy. It's a feast that was to celebrate either completion. There's a lot of theories on what it means. The number seven is mentioned 700 times in the Bible, and so they think that it could relate to the seven sacraments. Some people do 9 and 13 for the 13 apostles. There's also there's a lot of speculation that it is the completion of Christ's promise to send us baby Jesus. And so that's why they celebrate it. So there's a bunch of little facts. I'm putting them on all the different place cards at my feast, and I'm lighting my whole dining room in candlelight, hoping that it kind of feels a little like Italy.
Well, what kind of fish?
Well, my menu I've been working on, I'm going to do a calamari dish, a shrimp dish, oysters, a salt cod, which is really traditional, a scallop dish, a poached salmon, and a baked whole fish. So, and all the accompaniments.
Wow. Wow.
And then end with a tiramisu. So I'm going to do a whole day of cooking on Friday, all my different fish dishes. So I think it's going to be really fun.
It sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
And it's 2 days before because that's when they're coming down to celebrate.
Exactly.
With you.
But typically it's on Christmas Eve.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of information out there. Savoir magazine just did something on it, and they had seven great chefs put out seven great recipes if anybody's looking for something.
Lynn, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hi. The lady that was just speaking mentioned Huff Bakery, and I was wondering if she has any idea where I might find something that tastes like Huff Bakery bread or cream puffs.
Oh, I've been trying to track down their cookbook and recipes and everything, and I don't have anything.
The only thing I can tell you, there is a place on Lakeshore called Archie's Bakery.
Yes, and that's the old, isn't that the old baker or somebody connected?
Yeah, he makes like wedding cakes and things like that.
Yes, I've actually, my dad's living up in Cleveland now, and I've asked him to go in and talk to him for me and see if we can uncover any information, so stay tuned.
I've been in to visit him too, and my niece used to do catering in Cleveland, and that's how she got some of his, at this time of year, I know he makes some cookies.
Yeah, it was just such a wonderful place and a lot of great people's memories, I'm sure, are connected with that bakery.
Okay, I just thought I'd touch. I know Fisher Fazio, somebody made the bread for a while, but they don't anymore, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lynn. What about you, Faith Durand? What's the plan
for Christmas,
your big Christmas thing
this year? You know, we're going to be kind of low-key this year with my family. We're gonna see them on Christmas Day, but I definitely haven't done all the baking I would like to do yet for Christmas. And in fact, I'm really behind on my one big project this year, which I'm making fruitcake. And I know a lot of people really detest fruitcake, but I happen to love fruitcake. And I think most people just haven't had the right sort of fruitcake. And this year I'm making a recipe. It's a black cake because it literally turns out black. And I've had fruit marinating and macerating and a lot of alcohol for about 2 months now, actually, and I really should have baked the cake about a month ago, but I got a little behind on things, so I need to bake the cake probably today. I'm very excited about that. It's my first time really doing the whole thing.
It sounds great. One of my favorite stories is the one that Truman Capote wrote
fruitcake weather, or that's what his aunt always says.
Yeah, this is a great story. Sarah in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering if you could recommend a side dish that is dairy, egg, and nut-free for Christmas dinner.
To go with what? What else are you serving?
Well, it'll be everybody will be bringing food in, but the main dish will be rouladen.
Rouladen.
It's like I can't tell you all the details since I'm not the one that makes it. But,
is it
like
beef?
Bacon,
is it?
Surrounding, like, it takes 3 days to make. Maybe, I'm not sure if it's sausage or some kind of, it's a traditional German food.
Something that's rolled?
That my mother-in-law's family does.
So it's a meat dish?
It's a meat dish, and, you know, we'll have potatoes and things, but half the family has big allergies, and so trying to figure out something creative.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing potatoes already, you may not want to do another starch, but I've been really enjoying doing potatoes and also actually rutabaga, which a lot of people are very intimidated by, but it's really delicious and it's a lot more fuller tasting than potatoes and less starchy. I've been really enjoying doing those with olive oil and whipping them with olive oil. So that's, I think, just as delicious as doing them with a lot of cream.
And I'm a big fan of Brussels sprouts.
Absolutely.
I always have them on my holiday table. And a tip for cooking Brussels sprouts would be, I think a lot of people roast them in the oven. And I learned at culinary school that actually makes them a little bit more bitter. And so if you take a cast iron pan and heat it up with olive oil, put some good kosher salt in the bottom, and have your Brussels sprouts and drop them in there. And the more flaky leaves, the better. And then you can just toss them in there at high heat and get them a little caramelized. And I think it makes a really nice dish.
Great.
Yum.
That sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, take care,
Sarah.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call. Our guest today, Faith Durand, freelance food writer and author of Not Your Mother's Casseroles. Also, Tricia Wheeler, editor-in-chief for Edible Columbus magazine. They're here with us right now. You can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back to talk about holiday cooking after this. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, 2011 was the year of the Arab Spring. As the year ends, we ask where that Arab Spring really stands now. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock on 89.7 NPR News. It's 46 degrees in downtown Columbus with cloudy skies. Expect rain today with a high near 49 degrees. More rain for tonight and an overnight low of about 35. And there's a chance of a little rain mixing with a little snow for Friday. And then cloudy skies and a high of 41 degrees. And hopefully the rain will stop after Friday morning. Clouds Friday night, a low of 28. Sunshine looking ahead to Saturday and a high of 43. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about holiday cooking with Faith Duran. She's the author of Not Your Mother's Casseroles. Also, Tricia Wheeler, editor-in-chief and publisher of Edible Columbus Magazine. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We are not a dating service. We're talking about holiday cooking today. So if you have a question or comment, want to share your tradition with us, we'd love to hear it. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. So let's get down to what I'm trying to do for Christmas Eve with friends is a big brisket. Of course, I guess they're all big.
Yeah.
And it came with a quarter cow we ordered, and it's sort of final thing that I haven't, so I really need to make it because I don't know why I'm doing it in the middle of the winter, although this isn't winter. And I'm a little nervous about making, I've never made a brisket before, and it takes a long time and at very low heat. What else?
I think putting a nice spicy rub on it, or you know, something with some flavoring. And I said earlier that I'm really impressed that you're smoking it. So I think that's going to impart beautiful flavor to it. And I think it's a real forgiving meat. I mean, you're really cooking it till it's tender.
Yeah.
And low and slow.
Low and slow. Is it like how many hours? I saw it anywhere from 6 to 10, and that made me panic.
Yeah, it depends on the weight. I think I usually cook brisket overnight in the slow cooker. I'll grill it or brown it, you know, on the stove
first,
to really give it some intense flavor. And then I'll put it in a slow cooker or in a really low oven, like 250 overnight. And so it'll cook for maybe 8 to 10 hours in some broth. Maybe I often put caramelized onions with my brisket.
And then how do you keep it warm? Is it, do they reheat? Well,
yeah. In fact, most braises, if you do it low and slow like that in liquid, most braises are going to taste better the next day anyway. They really reabsorb that liquid and get super juicy. And just the flavors bloom as they rest for a day or two.
And do you just stick it back in the oven then and reheat it?
I think, I usually
covered,
do a low oven. Yeah,
covered.
It should be covered. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You have to let us know how it turns out, Anne.
I thought it out.
Now we're going to be thinking about you.
Better post a photo.
Luckily, someone else in the group is bringing in a big ham, so no matter what, we'll eat. Christy in Dublin, welcome to the show. You know what a rouladen is. Welcome.
Hey, you bet. It's delicious. It's just brown steak or some cheap cut of beef, and you pound it nice and thin. You spread mustard on it, piece of bacon. Chop some carrots and onions, put that on there. Dill pickle in the middle, roll it up.
Dill pickle.
Wow.
Sounds
it's
lucky.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
You make it with red cabbage. It's really good. But I have some friends from Youngstown, some dear friends, and for the last, 7 or 8 years, we have made clothespin cookies, which is an all-day effort. We start about 9 or 10 in the morning. We finish about 6 or 7 at night, and we make probably 45 dozen cookies.
What are clothespin cookies?
You make a puff pastry of sorts, and you roll it out very thinly, and you wrap it around clothespin, bake it, slide it off, let it cool, and then you fill it with pastry cream.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious. They are delicious, but they are a labor of love.
So you make your puff pastry from scratch then, I gather.
Yes.
Wow, that's
devotion.
Impressive.
It's not difficult.
I don't know. I tried it once and decided I was going to take the advice when they say, use puff pastry from the freezer if you want. So I'm impressed. That's great.
It's fun, though. We have a good time.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
That's great.
Christy, thanks for the info.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Kieran in Dublin. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kieran.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry, Ian.
That's okay.
I'm excited to be talking to you the first time.
Oh.
I wanted to share a Christmas Eve tradition we started about 30 years ago. Our three daughters were always excited about Christmas, so I thought I need to find something that will focus us as a family together eating. And we have been doing fondue and Caesar salad and with bread and fruit, and the girls just loved it. It's so fun to dip into the pot. And now the tradition has spread the grandchildren and the son-in-laws, and everyone just really enjoys. It's kind of a fun dinner and keeps the kids eating and excited.
It's a great idea. That's awesome. That on New Year's Eve.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I may have to do it again.
Yes.
Well, I grew up doing it. That's what we did, like, all the winter back in the, you know, the 70s, you know, during the first wave of fondue.
My
being
mom's
cool.
Fondue pot was like a lime green.
Yep.
And
yep.
Mine is too.
Yep. Avocado green
avocado
or whatever.
Green, that's it.
And and then I remember once when the Sterno blew up in the kitchen.
Oh,
and,
memorable.
It was a memorable day. Well, Kieran, great. Well, thanks a lot. And the Caesar salad sounds wonderful as well.
Yes, right. Yeah. Thank you for your show.
Yeah. Do you guys drink hot tea with your fondue or liquor?
My parents were wine.
The adults?
Yeah, well, I was in Switzerland last year, and we had real Swiss fondue with some friends, and they said you always have to drink hot tea and kirsch so that the cheese doesn't solidify in your stomach.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Have to remember that.
Great binding. Okay, right. Thanks, Kieran. Take care.
You too.
614-292-8513. We're talking about holiday cooking. We'd love to know what your holiday tradition is. My guest, Faith Durand, author of Not Your Mother's Casseroles, and also Tricia Wheeler. She's editor-in-chief and publisher of Edible Columbus Magazine. Jim in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
I am.
Hi, Jim.
Listen, I just happened to turn on the radio, and I heard Trish Smith Wheeler on there. Trish is an old friend from Akron. Trish, this is Jim of Jim and Bo.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
So, listen, I just want to tell you, we love your magazine. We've subscribed ever since the first edition.
Thank you.
And your friend Marta Madigan is a neighbor of ours.
Oh,
so
yes.
We're connected there as well.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing well.
Listen, to make this legitimate, what I'm doing, Bo is cooking a pork roast for Christmas, which is a departure from turkey, and she'd probably kill me for asking for recipe suggestions, but what kind of side dishes would you suggest besides green beans to go with pork roast?
Mm. Pork roast, I love, it's pretty rich and decadent, but I do a sweet potato dish that I slice up, and I whip heavy whipping cream with some chipotle peppers that are come in the can. They're the smoky chipotles, and if you mix one chipotle pepper with a couple cups of whipping cream in the blender and pour it over sliced sweet potatoes and bake it, it's delicious.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
It's just three ingredients, but it's really wonderful.
Should it be whipped?
It's rich and decadent, doesn't it?
Yeah, not whipped like whipped cream, just blended with the chipotle pepper in a blender.
And
then
pour it over.
And put foil on it, cook it for about 40 minutes, take foil off the last 10 minutes, and it's just this rich, creamy, spicy sweet potato dish.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
You can't lose.
I think she's listening, so I hope she wrote this all down.
Really good. I think I might try
awesome.
That.
Listen, thanks for taking the call, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
All.
Same to you.
Same to you, Jim.
Okay. Bye-bye.
If you're just joining us, you can give us a call. We're talking about food. One of my favorite subjects, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Have you ever had a disaster, Trish?
In the kitchen?
At holidays.
At the holidays? Not at the holidays. Not that I can think of a disaster.
I mean, it depends on how you define disaster,
right?
I think most disasters in the kitchen tend to smooth themselves out and just become really good stories.
Uh-huh.
This year at Thanksgiving, I had ordered a turkey that was supposed to come by mail, and they sent it to me, and then there was something wrong with it. So they were going to send me another one, and it didn't get there in time. So I was with the crowds and the hordes of people out at Trader Joe's on Wednesday afternoon looking for a turkey. I ended up buying a cooked turkey in a bag for Thanksgiving. which was kind of exciting, actually, because I don't even like turkey. I was doing lamb curry as well for Thanksgiving, so everyone was fine with that. But, you know, I think there's always those little episodes that give some zest and, you know, make a good story at the holiday table.
I think I don't really call it a disaster per se. It tasted good, but I was making fillets, and I was pan frying them, then, you know, going to put them in the oven, and the smoke just went crazy.
Yeah.
That's a usual
occurrence at our house.
I mean, and every alarm, you know, every alarms were going off all over the place. And then to top it all off, that's when I had the whole family in, and the water heater blew on Christmas Day.
Yeah. That's hard.
So that was a bummer. But, you know, all the pots were going bubbling with water for the whole weekend.
I love high heat, and I have a five-year-old who, and our smoke alarms are very sensitive, and soon as she hears it, she runs down, grabs an edible, and starts waving her arms like crazy and puts out the smoke alarm.
So yeah, all the windows go off.
I've got assistance.
Exactly. It's a regular thing, actually. Ooh, Amy and Bexley, you have brisket tips for me. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi. I have a brisket recipe that I have been making for years that everyone loves. It's like no fail. And it's pretty easy. You start kind of in a similar manner to what your guest mentioned. I just cook it over onions with red wine and chopped tomatoes, like a canned tomatoes, rosemary, thyme, celery. And I only cook it for 3 hours on 325, like a 5-pound brisket, and that always seems to do it. I've never tried the overnight version. But the thing that I think really makes it is you cook it the day before, you refrigerate it, and then the next day you cut off the fat. You skim off the fat from the gravy. You take the meat out and slice it cold, and you skim off the fat on the sauce. Then you put it back in the pan. You reheat the sauce, pour the warm sauce over the brisket, heat it up that way, and it's amazing. Oh, and then you add carrots and parsley when you're heating it up.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds really delicious.
It's a different way, but I'm not a great cook, and this is like the one thing I can always make that people are super impressed.
Oh, well, that's great. I love hearing that. I like the idea that I can cook it a day before.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah, it does. Or I could cook it overnight, and do that kind of a thing.
It's a good knife to cut it because I have, like, struggled with dull knives trying to cut it, so that's the one thing. I have one sharp knife for my brisket.
Do you need to, let me ask you guys this, do you need to keep checking it a lot?
No.
Okay.
Sizzle, like baste it once or twice, but I cover it. Like I cover it in foil or
tight,
and keep it covered.
Okay.
That sounds so good. So it probably turns out more like a roast, right? So you slice it, and because brisket, you can do like a roast.
It's just really tender.
Yeah.
We serve it with red horseradish, actually, like a bottled horseradish.
It's nice.
Yeah.
All righty, Amy. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You guys are all giving me so much confidence. Yeah, thank you. 614-2- Oh, more brisket tips for Ann. Okay, Mary Ann in German Village. Welcome to the show, Mary Ann.
Hello, Ann. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Great. I was listening and heard that you were considering smoking your brisket for the holidays.
Well, it's all thought out. The considerations must smoke brisket.
Yeah, I've probably smoked, 2 dozen briskets. It's one of my favorites. I love the process. It's a lot of fun because once you get it started, you just kind of babysit it. But it does take anywhere from 6 to 12 hours. So you want to start really early in the morning or try and do it the day before. Start it fat side up when you smoke it because that allows the fat to just melt into the meat over the long, slow time that you have it on the smoke. And use big wood chunks and soak them in a whole lot of water. Get them soaked the day before so that they burn slowly and evenly.
Where do you get the wood chunks from? I mean, I buy the wood chunks, you know, in the bags at the grocery store, but they're not usually that big of chunks.
Well, there are a few brands that are pretty good size that are about, you know, 4 inches in diameter.
So those
can work well. Or if you have a wood-burning stove, there's usually big chunks somewhere. So, You can get the big bags at the grocery store, but they're you know about 4.5 inches. But they'll burn nice and slow for you. You want to let it rest for at least a half an hour because it really needs some time to redistribute all those juices. And they don't necessarily warm up so great. So I usually do them the day of. I get up real early in the morning and start them and serve them that night.
Now, I was recommended to let it rest for a couple hours, and then you get it like a cooler, and you warm up the cooler with hot water, and then you wrap the brisket in the foil, and then you wrap it in towels, and you keep it in there, and it rests in there. Is that pretty fancy?
I know. So.
I've got the cooler ready.
I've never
gone to those links to warm up my brisket. I can't imagine that it wouldn't work. It sounds plausible.
Well, thanks, Marianne. You guys are all giving me a lot of confidence. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Best of luck and Merry Christmas. Thank you for
thanks.
The
same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have some. Karen has a gravy recipe. Hi, Karen in Pickerington. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Fine. I'm glad to be on the show. I come from a tradition of making Swedish meatballs, being of Swedish descent. The only problem we've had in making the gravy afterwards, using a cup of milk or cream and a tablespoon of flour, it says pour into the pan grease. But the pan grease has little black lumps, you know, and isn't really good when we have it because it isn't a smooth gravy. Mm. And I was wanting to know, how can I make a better gravy?
I mean, personally, when I make gravy, I actually don't really mind some of the little black flecks, you mean, from like really browning the meat.
Yeah,
I think they give a lot of flavor. It makes maybe for not as pretty of a gravy, but it makes for a more flavorful gravy. But you can always make your gravy, you know, if there are larger chunks or whatever, flecks of meat or whatever, you can make your gravy still in the pan, you know, whisk it smooth and then pour it through a fine strainer and get out the bigger, more unsightly chunks if you like and still have absorbed all that flavor from the browned meat, you know, left behind. Is that what you would do,
yeah,
Tricia? Probably?
I would. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Browned bits on the bottom of the pan.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree with that. It's good.
Okay, I'll go ahead and try it then.
Go with the bits, Karen.
Thank you.
Okay. Coming up, we'll take calls if you want to email us. Allsides@wosu.org is the email address. The number to call is 614-292-8513. And you can also leave your question or comment on All Sides with Ann Fisher's Facebook page. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Receive daily updates from WOSU by liking our station on Facebook or by following WOSU News on Twitter. Another way to connect with us is by subscribing to our daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit wosu.org/email to sign up.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Sunday evening, watch an art zine holiday special highlighting Pro Musica and celebrating holiday traditions. Members of the Columbus community join together to perform selections from Handel's Messiah. Watch Sunday evening at 6:30 on WOSU-TV.
Support for the State House News Bureau stories on 89.7 come from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher educational faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at ohea.org.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, we'll be discussing things to do in Columbus during this holiday season. Joining Ann in the studio will be Walker Evans and John Ross from Columbus Alive. And we'll also discuss First Night Columbus. We'll hear from Mike Collins about the New Year's Eve celebration for Columbus. That's from 11 till noon on 89.7 NPR News. Expect some rain today and a high right around 50 degrees. More rain tonight and a low of 35. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. My guest today to talk about holiday food, holiday cooking, holiday traditions, Tricia Wheeler. She's editor-in-chief and publisher for Edible Columbus magazine. Tricia, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Ann.
Really appreciate it. And Faith Duran, freelance food writer and author of Not Your Mother's Casserole. She's also a blogger, and we'll post the link to her blog on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Faith, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Elise, we're coming your way, so get ready. Hi, Elise. You're on the air.
Hi there. Real quick question. I am not a cook, and I have a recipe for apple pear cornbread stuffing, and I bought some expensive cornmeal, and their recipe says I need a cup of the medium grind cornmeal and a cup of whole wheat pastry flour, and none of my gourmet cook friends knows where to get that. I have not been able to find it at Weiland's, and I will take my answer off the air.
Okay, Elise,
thank you.
Thank
you so much.
Any ideas?
You can find a whole wheat pastry flour at Whole Foods, mm-hmm. But I, you know where I like to buy actually all my flours and my spices is the little co-op on the corner of Calumet and Crestview.
The Clintonville co-op.
I live right by there, and they have a lot of great prices on bulk flours, and I know that they have whole wheat pastry flour. But it's also available at Whole Foods, probably in the bulk section. That's usually where I...
Clintonville Co-op. It's in the mm-hmm. book.
Yep.
It's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Calumet and Crestview, right?
Terrific little place, yeah.
Yep, yep. So any ideas, Tricia?
I think those
Same.
Are two.
Those
right?
okay. Yeah. All right, or Whole Foods. 614-292-8513. You can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org. The lines are open, so if you want to get that call in right now, make it. We were talking about Christmas Day, and Faith, you have plans for brunch?
Yeah, I think if my family has any Christmas meal tradition, I think brunch is a big deal. Like I said, I come from a really big family, so opening presents for us goes on for hours. And so you have to be well fortified, and there's always the people who are up really early and, you know, waiting impatiently, although those numbers have dwindled as we've gotten older. But, you know, so you need something to kind of fortify yourself as you're waiting eagerly to open the presents. So my mom almost always makes a big pan of cinnamon rolls, and my brothers, I have five brothers, and they just attack those. And I really love brunch. I just think it's one of my all-time favorite meals. It's more relaxed. You don't have to kind of sit down and be fancy. And you can just make this really awesome food that everybody loves. So.
I think one of the things, if I remember correctly, that I love about your cookbook is you have so many great brunch casseroles.
I have a lot of breakfast casseroles.
People love them.
Yeah, I'm making actually a bunch because I'm actually working on another story right now about brunch casseroles. And so I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to bring like four casseroles because I'm working on another story. So we'll do something with potatoes and eggs and probably a bread strata with cream cheese and jam in the middle and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Some of them are nice that you can make the night before.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So you can already have your prep done on Christmas Eve yeah. and then just in the morning just yeah. have to bake it and totally. Not have to worry about it on Christmas.
Yeah. My mom does the same thing with her cinnamon rolls, mm-hmm. which everyone's like, there better be cinnamon rolls or it's like a really big deal.
But just some of these casseroles for breakfast, flaky almond croissant bake. Oh,
yeah,
oh my
that's
God.
A fun one.
Savory bread pudding with bacon and mushrooms, lemon brioche French toast, autumn fruit that's strata good. With apples, pears, and raisins.
Yeah, those
yummy.
Are
yummy. And all with the steel cut oats. Mm-hmm. I know that those are very good as well.
Steel cut oats have been one of my favorite breakfast dishes lately. And if you're looking for something a little bit healthier for Christmas, I don't know why you do something super healthy on Christmas morning of all days, but if you want something that's a little more, you know, baked steel cut oats are really delicious and comforting, but also a little more healthy.
Oh, Mary in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. It's good to be on the show. And I love the comments today and the suggestions, by the way. Great. I have a suggestion for a side dish for people. It's extremely colorful. It's savory and it's sweet. And all it is fresh beets and sweet potatoes drizzled with a little olive oil with fresh rosemary. Bake it, and it's just gorgeous. Mm. And those who are, you know, more health conscious can certainly enjoy a healthier side dish. It's really sweet, and you can even eat it for dessert if you don't want, you know, all the other things. But it's really delicious and beautiful.
I'll be having beets this holiday also. I've saved them from our garden for the holidays. So I mix them with like a goat cheese and roast them.
Yeah, beets are my new thing this year. I never ate them before.
I know.
Until
I get so many beet converters at my cooking classes.
Yeah, I'm a converted. I now love beets. So that's a great idea, Mary. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. And,
sounds pretty.
Have a great new year.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
We have a special request from my associate producer, Amy Jurevich. She says, don't forget to ask about leftovers. Wasn't that on your list? Interesting things to do with all that extra food. You know, it depends on what your food is, but Faith, I mean, how do you recommend people approach that leftover casserole kind of thing? I mean, how to think about it?
You mean, well, I mean, it depends on what you're cooking, of
course. If it's a ham.
I mean, yeah, if it's a ham, I think ham, out of all things, is great to freeze. So if you just can't look at another slice of ham, just cut up a lot of it into really small, you know, a small dice. Or you don't even have to cut it up, but you can make it easier on yourself later by cutting it up into small pieces. And then put it in smaller portion baggies in the freezer. And then you can throw a cup into a casserole next month if you want something to round out a breakfast casserole. Or you could stir fry it with a little bit of rice and make a quick dinner. I think ham is one of my favorite things to freeze and have available for quick meals later.
Now, the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
I think it's going to be all gone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm saying. That's a lot of food.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go crazy with portion size. Yeah. So I'm going to do different platters all in the middle of the table, and hopefully people will just eat family style.
I definitely get like that about turkey. I have one good day after Thanksgiving and that's it. No, I am like, yeah. I have no
I don't
need
think
for
turkey
it.
Turkey lasts well. No. I really am a big fan of a small turkey. If you have to do turkey, do a small one. But I actually make turkey stock out of leftover turkey meat. I mean, I that meat is not sacred. I would rather have the turkey stock, which to me is like liquid gold, especially compared to the turkey, is just so delicious and so nourishing for soups throughout the rest of the winter.
Give us a call. We have about 10 minutes left, 614-292-8513. If you want to talk with our guests, we're talking about holiday foods. We'd love to know what your traditions are. If you have any great recipes to share, do so, please. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We haven't gotten one email today. It's so strange. Is there a special recipe? You said your mom makes this cinnamon rolls.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing that your mom does.
Yeah, well, everyone just loves them. They're gooey and sweet, so there's always those. She also usually makes a lot of cookies, like spritz cookies. I don't know if anybody makes spritz. Mm-hmm. And as kids, we always thought those were so fun because, you know, you put dough in this little tube and you squeeze it out into shapes. And it's
how do you get your
fun.
Spritz from being kind of tough, though? Because I've made spritz a few times and I'm not real. I love eating a good spritz, but I don't make a good spritz. I don't know how to get the dough to stay light enough.
I wish my mom would call in and tell us. Because
mom?
I know.
You know what I mean, though,
sure.
About
mine,
that?
Mine often turn out a little too gooey as well. Like, they don't hold their shape very well.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just all about getting the right balance of
and not
flour.
Overworking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If
I haven't made them.
They're not. I love eating them, but they're not the one I make. Email from Shirley. We did have some emails. Sorry, everybody. Christmas this year is at our daughter's, and I am bringing the horseradish pecan encrusted beef tenderloin.
Nice.
Recipe calls for browning on all sides, covering with egg white, encrusting, then baking. Can I do the browning and coat it, take it to our house, and cook it there? She's wondering.
I would think so.
Yeah.
If she has room in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. And,
yeah.
Nothing doesn't. All of those things seem like you could do them ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Shirley, do it. Let us know how it worked out. email from Angel. She says a suggestion for the cornbread stuffing recipe is to just use her favorite cornbread mix, like Jiffy. Carol in Reynoldsburg. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you.
I have kind of a related question, but not directly to food. My granddaughter really wants baking lessons for Christmas, and I have tried everywhere, and I can't find any in the Columbus area. I can find baking or pastry chef classes like at culinary institutes, but not an adult education enrichment class. I guess money's just kind of dried up so that the career centers don't offer them anymore. Do your guests have any suggestions?
Tricia, I know you do cooking classes.
I do, and sometimes I bring in guests. Last year we did a class with the Cheryl's Cookie pastry chef, and she came in and taught some baking. Are you looking for something that would be several classes? Is that what you're...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know that there is anything that comes to mind that's several classes.
And it's specifically baking you're talking about.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's still La Table classes, but those are more just one-off
time.
type things.
You could get in touch. My mom owns the Cambridge Tea House, and she teaches some baking classes, hands-on baking classes out of the tea house in Grandview area. But they're usually, she's done pie crusts and pastry and different things, but there's not really a series again.
It's more like
one-time classes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You might be able to find someone who could give her private lessons.
That's a good idea.
I mean, I think Trish and I both would know probably several different pastry chefs.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone very particular who, you know, I'm sure would be happy to meet with her and give her some baking lessons.
I offered to teach her, but that didn't work.
It's not as much fun.
With the hat and the apron.
I see.
So it's the whole kibosh. Okay, well, hopefully that helps, Carol. That's an interesting, there's a niche there to be filled.
There is.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Carol. Mm. Pat in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Yes, I had kind of a dish that I think I'm going to try this year for Christmas morning. And that is, it's a variation of brunch eggs, which we all know are, which you do the night before, the six eggs, two cups of whole milk, a cup of cream, and a loaf of French bread cut into cubes. And I know we've all made that and put it in the refrigerator and let it sit overnight. But what's different about it is the next morning you take it out to room temperature and you mix a half a stick of butter, a cup of brown sugar, a cup of chopped pecans, and two cups of fresh blueberries, and put that over the top so it gets, I guess, very crusty as it cooks, and very sweet. And then you take it out of the oven and serve it with blueberry syrup.
Wow.
And I think that sounds, I mean, you talked about having pecan rolls, and I thought, well, this is something that you could have that would be sweet and good for the next day. So I thought I would just offer that up as a variation of brunch eggs.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds decadent.
It does. It sounds very decadent.
Yeah.
Do you make it a lot, Pat?
I have never made it before. This will be my first year to try it. I got it in the Docent Cookbook from the Columbus Museum of Art Docents, and I thought, wow, that sounds good.
Okay. Well, let us know next time we're on.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Take
Merry
care,
Christmas.
Pat. Merry
Bye.
Christmas to you. We have a few more minutes if you want to get that call in. We have some emails. Well, did I get all the emails? I got all the emails. So suggestion for the cornbread stuffing. So those are done. So we have just a few more minutes, though. Anything that I haven't asked you guys about that you want to talk about? Beverages? Just something you can crack open from a...
No, I was just going to say, on Christmas morning, we have gotten in the tradition of making little beignets. And we just use the Café du Monde... boxed mix, and after presents and everything, I go in and we fry up little donuts and stuff, and my daughter loves that. So it's an easy way to make a homemade donut at home.
And you roll them in powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar, yes. Mm-hmm. My husband makes coffee, and we make tea, and then I read cookbooks the rest of the day. So it's a perfect day. Donuts
right.
And
sounds
cookbooks,
wonderful.
Right?
That
does sound very
donuts.
Good.
Yeah.
Beverages. What about you?
Yeah, there's always a lot of coffee. My family doesn't do this. We don't do anything alcoholic on Christmas, but I know on the kitchen, on the blog that I manage, we've published quite a few punch recipes that are really awesome for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. One of my columnists is in Atlanta, and she did this really awesome Southern milk punch that just looks very decadent.
Like with the rum and
I think she did bourbon.
Okay.
She's a Southern girl.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Real quick, an email from Lori. She says, I make spritz cookies, so many. The key is butter. It's a very butter-heavy dough, and Martha Stewart has a great recipe online. The dough should be greasy but not gooey. Also, overbaking equals death.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lori. I bet you that's what I do every time. And Mary in Columbus, you're on the air. You have a question about fondues.
Yes, I love the idea of making the fondue on Christmas Eve. I'd like to try it, but I've never made fondue before. Do you have any suggestions, the easy recipes?
Trish?
We've done it a lot. We always do an oil fondue. So we just heat hot oil up, and then we cut up seafood, meat, and chicken. And then we have dipping sauces. And so we do vegetables. We do baked potatoes on the side, and then have like a little baked potato bar. And the hot oil cooks like the shrimp or the filet or the chicken. And then we do a horseradish sauce, which is just sour cream, lemon juice,
Bernays
and some
sauce would be good
and
too.
A Bernays would be wonderful, and that's how we do it. Always a hot oil. Do you have a different one, Faith?
I think if you do a cheese fondue, there are lots of places where you can get. I think Trader Joe's does just sort of a prepackaged cheese mix. It's already all shredded for you. So if you want to do a cheese fondue, just get one of those and make sure you do mix in a little bit of alcohol or broth to thin it out just a little bit.
Okay, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
Good
you.
Luck.
We always did the traditional cheese. My dad would sit there for about 5 hours shredding cheese into it, melting it very slowly, and then dumping wine in. I just remember. It's one of my favorite memories. Faith Duran, freelance food writer, author of Not Your Mother's Casserole, will post your a link to your blog as well on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks for joining us, Faith.
Thank you, Ann.
Appreciate it, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
And Tricia Wheeler, editor-in-chief, publisher of Edible Columbus Magazine. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks,
appreciate
Ann.
It. We'll have a link to that as well on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks so much for listening. Have a lot of fun eating this holiday. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.